Breaking It Down with Frank McKay. This is 103.9 LI News Radio.
I'd like to welcome everyone to Breaking It Down. This is Frank McKay, but more importantly, my very special guest is a very talented lady, and she has put together a collection of letters that are so nice. A letter to my mom, and Lisa Erspalmer is our very special guest. Lisa, how are you?
Great. Thanks for having me.
Now, where did the idea for these books come from?
Well, originally, I was having dinner with a publisher friend and a photographer friend who actually had photographed my dog for my birthday as a surprise. And I said, gosh, we should do a dog book and we should call it A Letter to My Dog and have people write, you know, letters to their pups, right? And I'm a big dog mom and I love my dog
Me
so
too.
Much. And
yeah.
he sort of laughed and said, okay, I'll buy that right now. And so we started putting it together. And as we started gathering the letters from people, we realized how powerful the idea really was. And, you know, it seems when people sit down to write a letter, they automatically know that they're writing a love letter, and at least for this project. And they really do sort of get to the heart of their connection with, you know, their dog, their cat, and now their mom. So we did dog first, then we did our pet book, and then A Letter to My Mom, our human version, came out, you know, recently.
I imagine this has to be the tough one, writing the letter to your mom.
Well, it really was. And, you know, I wrote a letter to my mom for the book, but it was really hard for me to do. And I, you know, went back and forth the whole time. Should I do it? Should I not do it? What if I write it and it's not good enough? And I feel embarrassed? Or is it too intimate for me to write this letter to my mom? Will it be too much, too hard? But I decided to do it. And, you know, at the end of the day, I'm so glad I did, because I really do think that in a lot of ways, you know, we sort of broke through a little bit of a wall that we had just by me taking the time to sort of express how I felt about her. You know, I'm not like that emotional with her. And so I think it was just really more profound than I had anticipated, but not easy to do.
How long was the process? How long did it take you to write a letter to your mom?
Well, I sort of stuck my feet in the sand for a while, and then I decided to do it on a plane when I was a hostage.
Wow.
You know what
yeah.
I mean? Like,
captive.
I couldn't move. Because, you know, if you're on a plane, it's not like I could go do laundry or, you know, do all the things that I do when I'm in a procrastination mood or mode.
Right.
And so I was on a six-hour flight, and I decided to write it then. And I also, like, committed to myself that I wasn't going to try to make it perfect. I was going to let it be what it was. And that was going to be that. And that's kind of how it happened. And, you know, but to my mom, it may not be the most perfect letter in the world, but to my mom, it is. Like all of our moms, you know, most of our moms think we're pretty amazing. And for her, I think just hearing the words, you know, I love you and thank you for everything that you did for me throughout my life. You know, thank you for believing me. I think her knowing that I remembered and that, you know, some of the things that she did, I think, made a big impact on her. So
let me remind everyone who just may be tuning in or if they just turned on their radio that this is Frank McKay. But my very special guest is Lisa Erspalmer. And she is just a wonderfully talented lady, television producer, and spent some time with Oprah Winfrey, which you can't spend time with a much better person than that when you talk about TV, media, or anything. Just and forget about TV, media. Did Oprah write and I haven't gotten through the whole book. Did she write a letter in this book?
She didn't write a letter to her mom, but she did write a letter for the first book. She wrote a letter to her dog, Luke, in our first book. I think she wrote two letters, but definitely to Luke. So, and a letter to my dog.
How many people did you ask to write a letter that said, I just can't do it?
I would say there was a handful, not a lot of people, but for some people it was too hard, especially a couple of people whose moms passed in the last, you know, few years. They just weren't ready to sit down and do it. It was just too emotionally hard for them to really push through that. We do have lots of tributes in the book from people whose moms aren't here any longer, and I think when people are ready to do it, I think it's a really healthy exercise.
When you,
you know, to just really tell them what you think in a letter so that you can really write that down and have it, even, you know, if it's only for yourself.
When you ask the folks to do this, what was anybody, and you don't have to name names, but was anybody completely dismissive? Like they thought this was a silly idea. This is ridiculous. Was there anybody like that? And do you think they were truly like that, or they just didn't want to touch there?
Well, we didn't have that reaction at all with Mom. We did with cat and dog.
Oh, okay. Well, that I see. I get that. Even though I have a dog and cats, I got five cats. I think if you came up to me, I'd have that, not dismissive, but I'd be like, oh, my God.
Well,
man, I write
we had a couple people say, like, my cat doesn't read and stuff like that. And I was like, I know. But, you know, for me, like, I'm such an animal lover, and I really do, you know, my dogs have, you know, in many ways saved my life, and I am grateful to them. And so I think sit down and write a letter. It may seem silly, but I do think that, you know, our point was, our connection to our animals is really significant. And, you know, they do really make us better people. And I think they do teach us a lot about love and unconditional love and things that humans aren't really capable of. And so, you know, we actually we took it seriously. Like, it was serious to us. And I think the people who participated were really happy they did. I think people love to know about their special pet.
You know, you mentioned the six-hour plane flight. Are you an emotional person? I mean, could you write that letter to your mom, and like really reach down without breaking down in front of all these people on the plane? I mean, were you in a special seat? Were you in first class? Were you kind of hidden? Were you in the back? Where were you?
Well, I wasn't in a special seat necessarily. I think I just was in the zone, and so I was able to finally do it, and. I cried more reading everyone else's letters, and we cried all the time when we were putting this book together. Anne, who produced the book with me, was pregnant at the time. So, you know, one big emotional upheaval after another. As we read the letters, you know, we were both so, you know, they were so powerful to read, and we read them out loud because we thought it was our best way to sort of decide which ones we wanted to put in the book and where. And so we cried a lot in that process. And I think I cried after I read it. I didn't cry while I read it, while I wrote it, I think because I was just trying to do it. And, but then as time went on, like the anticipation of the book coming out, I was so nervous, like, how's my mom going to react? And, you know, I knew she would be happy about it and I knew she would be emotional about it, but I was worried, like, will this be too intimate? You know?
Yeah.
And that was probably really what we needed
now
in our relationship.
Who did you mention was pregnant? You were pregnant or your partner was pregnant?
No, Anne.
Okay.
Who produced the book with me. She's pregnant with her first baby, baby Brooke. So I think for her, what was really interesting too was seeing somebody who's about to be a new mom, like read what people remembered about their childhood and or the things people remembered that their mothers did for them.
Mm.
And I really feel like we learned a lot about what is important.
Yeah,
because, you know, nobody wrote about, like, the trip around the world you gave me or whoever had that, I don't know. But or, like, you know, getting my first, you know, purse or, you know, the shoes. It was never about the things that people got for their kids. It was always about the moments that they had with them. And so it really did sort of, you know, in a lot of ways. So it's like, gosh. You know, we always think, like, we need more and more and more. Like, we want to be able to give our kids everything, and sometimes everything we didn't have ourselves. And in reality, I think what kids want and what kids need is more time with their parents.
Just a reminder here, Frank McKay with a very special guest, Lisa Erzpalmer, and she is author and creator of three wonderful books. And the latest one, because I'm sure there'll be a dad one coming up and a grandma, and all, right? But a letter to my mom, and I'm sure very soul searching, and like you said, for the woman that is going through a pregnancy, thinking, wow, I mean, look at all this heavy stuff. That must have been a very heavy situation to deal with for her. And, you know, I guess for all of you, but especially for her.
Well, it was very illuminating, I think, for us, too. You know, I think for Dan, in a lot of ways, I think it was a great, like, look inside parenting and motherhood. And really the power and the connection that we all have with our moms is so, you kind of forget what that is. We kind of all take it for granted. And as we read these letters and as we went through them all, you know, you see, like, that power, that connection is intense. And I know it is for dads as well, but as we went through these mom letters, you know, that's, you know, we've said, like, you know, moms really are our first love. You know, they're the first person you bond with when you're born. And that relationship definitely inspires your future. And where you end up and how you are in the world. And I know for me, I never take the time to thank my mom. Mostly I complain about her. You know what I mean? I'm like, oh, she's so annoying. You know what I mean? And so it was really good to, like, you know, take the exercise to really take a moment to thank her. Because moms really do, they give up a lot for us. And so do dads. But, you know, we don't, I think, always think about what it is that they had to do in order for us to have the lives that we have or had as children. And so that's really what we hope people take away from this book, is really the specialness of moms and that they take time in their own lives to write somebody they love a letter so that they know how they feel. Because, you know, it's definitely the best gift to give
now
and get.
Now, as we mentioned before, you worked with as a producer for the Oprah Winfrey Show, which is, you know, just an amazing experience.
So did
Anne. Yeah, both of you did.
We sure did. Yep.
Yeah. Now, is your mother a fan of Oprah?
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, I did the show for almost 17 years, and then I, you know, helped launch the network. So, you know, Oprah's been in our lives for, you know, 2 decades. I sort of grew up on that show.
When you think of soul searching, the first name that pops into my mind for whatever reason is Oprah. You know, she's, you know, boy, she touches on a lot of things. And it seems real to me. I don't know Oprah. I've never met her. But, I mean, she's obviously, she's a legend. And she's beyond, she's beyond entertainment. She's much, she, you know, launched the presidency. I mean, let's face it. I mean, she's an amazing figure in history. I mean, and there's no doubt that that's, you know, hopefully 100 years from now, you know, that's what that's what it will be. But prior to Oprah, were you a soul searcher growing up? Were you the type of person that was always, you know, introspective?
I was more driven. I wasn't really thinking about the inner me. I was mostly thinking about how can I have the opportunity to create in really television. I was dying to be in television from a pretty young age. And I think I didn't really start looking at myself until many years of working there, working with Oprah. I didn't think about it. It just wasn't even top of mind. It was more, I really wanted to tell people stories. I thought that was the greatest opportunity on the planet. And it's what I really wanted to do. And it's actually why I sought her out, because I loved how Oprah talked to people from all different walks of life, and that she was, you know, sort of opening our eyes, like Bill Donahue as well, because I also really loved him. But, you know, they talked to people that might be different to some, and, you know, and I felt like that was such a great way to learn about the world.
Well, you are certainly were right, and I think a lot of people would agree with you. Let me ask you a little bit about your life and your career and your biography, but I'll remind people of who they're listening to. And you're listening to a very talented lady, an author, a book creator, a television producer. As she said, she worked for Oprah, or she worked for the Oprah or on the Oprah and Winfrey Show for 17 years. She helped launch the old network, right? And just a a wonderful job on all of that. Her name is Lisa Ersbummer, and it's a tough name to pronounce. Say it so we get it right. What is it?
Okay, it's Ersbummer.
Ersbummer. Okay, that's it.
You had it right.
I got it right. Frank McKay is much easier to say than Ersbummer, but
it is. But I got a little confused when I first saw it.
Right. Well, let's do a little bit of your history. First of all, where were you born? Where were you raised?
I was born in Westminster, California, which is a suburb. It's in Orange County. It's sort of east of Huntington Beach. Not small town, like, you know.
L.A. suburb.
It's an L.A. suburb, yeah. But south, about an hour south of Los Angeles proper.
Were your folks in the entertainment business?
They were not. My father worked for an aerospace company, and my mother was a fourth-grade teacher forever.
Wow. That's interesting.
It's
interesting going from a life where you're raised by a fourth-grade teacher and going to the Oprah Winfrey Show where it's a huge, in my mind, and again, I know there's sensationalism everywhere, but it's a huge, like, self-help class in the Oprah Winfrey Show in some ways.
Sure.
And so it's pretty interesting. Let's get into high school a little bit. What did you do in high school? What were you concentrating on?
Well, I didn't really. I mean, you know, in high school, I was just trying to get out, frankly.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I went to a Catholic high school, and I actually started in television right after the following fall as an intern, and I tried to do college in interspersed throughout that time, but I was lucky enough to get a job in TV as an intern, and I think I told them that I was in college at the time, and I just kept having more opportunities, so I kept taking them. And that was in, you know, 1986 was when I first started to intern, and it was actually the year that Oprah went on the air in Chicago as the Oprah Winfrey Show. And I had set my sights on her at that time. Randomly.
Yeah. Well, and,
prior to Oprah coming on the scene, I wanted to work for Phil Donahue. And I guess I just watched that show when I got home from school, and I was so interested in all the people that he was interviewing. I thought, like, gosh, I want to go work for him because I'll just learn so much. And then Oprah came on the scene, and I'm like, well, you know, it'd be even more amazing to work for a woman who's doing this. And it was not right away. I mean, it was 7 years later. I'd done some work in television. I'd done a lot of radio, and including with Tom Snyder, which was a total trip. Mm. And then I ended up getting a job freelancing at the Oprah Show, and then eventually got hired on staff.
Tell us a little bit about Tom Snyder, what it was like working for him.
Well, it was amazing. I mean, he was amazing. I had actually read about it. I did take some college courses, and I think I had done a couple years throughout this time while I was working in television and radio. And Tom, we'd read about him in a communications class, and, you know, he was really larger than life in so many ways. Very tall, really long arms, very expressive. And he knew about everything and about everybody. And I love that part of him. You know, he was really a compelling guy. And I really, I loved the old broadcasters. And I was sort of obsessed with them from a young age. And so all those people came through the doors, you know, like people who are still around today. But, you know, all the Peter Jennings and the Tom Brokaws and all those people would, you know, come in and do interviews with Tom. So for me, it was much better than going out on a Friday night, hanging out with Tom Snyder in the studio, hearing these legends talk about their unbelievable careers. But he was a lot of fun.
Oh, you certainly have some background. It's amazing. A Letter to My Mom is the name of the book. Everyone should get it. Don't illegally download it. Buy the damn thing. Lisa Ersbummer is the creator of this and two other books. She worked with Oprah Winfrey for 17 years, but that's not her whole resume. It's a tremendous resume. Lisa Ersbummer is, again, our very special guest. This is Frank McKay. In about a minute and a half, what can you tell us about what's going on with the book now? I mean, you're obviously promoting it. Do you like that part of it? Do you enjoy this?
Yeah, I love talking about that. I mean, I love to talk, period. probably why I ended up on talk shows. But I love talking about the book because I do think that people get inspired to write letters, and whether they buy it or not, which we hope they do. But if they don't, you know, we really think that the act of writing a letter is important, and we hope people, you know, will be inspired to do that in their own lives. So for us, it's a lot of fun. I mean, I think it's also, you know, we think it's amazing that we're published because I don't think, you know, it's sort of an opportunity that, number one, I never expected and that I'm super grateful for. So it's, you know, it's really kind of exciting for us.
We're coming right up on a break. Give us a website where people can kind of follow you, follow your career. Is there a social media component to you?
Well, we have sites for every one of our books. Well, I'm at my Twitter handle and Facebook is Lisa Palmer, but we have one for every book. So we have a letter to my dog.com, a letter to my cat.com, and a letter to my mom.com. And then all the Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, the Instagrams that are attached to those.
Well, we're coming right up on a break. This is Frank McKay, but more importantly, Lisa Erspalmer is our very special guest. Get the book, A Letter to My Mom, and that's a big part of our conversation. When we come back right after this break, a little more about her career and Oprah and a little bit of everything. Lisa Erspalmer when we come back. I'd like to welcome everyone back to Breaking It Down. This is Frank McKay. And my special guest is from 17 years of experience with the Oprah Winfrey Show and helping to launch the network, the Oprah Network, and also years with Tom Schneider, which I want to ask you a little more about. But get this book. Before I introduce her, write down A Letter to My Mom and two other books. You'll find the connecting. A Letter to My Dog, A Letter to My Cat, but A Letter to My Mom. Get it, and I dare you to read it without kind of choking up a bit. Lisa Erspalmer is my very special guest. Welcome back, Lisa.
Thank you.
Now, Tom Schneider, we started talking a little bit before the break. I always thought Tom Schneider was an underappreciated commodity. I mean, he really had his hand on the pulse of a lot of... He had Kiss on, like, very early on, you know, just, like, yeah. Very, very early on in the process. And I thought it was amazing. And, it, you know, I know it's been parodied or whatever, but he always seemed to have a little bit of a finger on the pulse of what was going on. And in some ways, he was made fun of as if he didn't. Now, did you experience that?
Well, yeah. I think, you know, what I think, he did, he knew everything about everybody. You know, he was the type of person, I think he just was so well-read and so engaged in what was going on in the world that you could pretty much ask him anything, and he would have an answer. I mean, he really, I think there's a difference between that old-school broadcasting group and the way that they did the news and reported the news. You know, they were really in it. Remember, didn't Dan Rather, like, tie himself to a pole in a hurricane?
Yeah.
You know, they led very different lives than today, where you have tons of producers and all that kind of stuff. I think they were relied on to know a lot about what was going on in the world, and he really did. His memory was unlike anyone I ever met. What he had incredible recall.
Lisa, what did he think of the Dan Aykroyd portrayal of him, the parody of him?
You know, we never talked about it, but I'm sure he would have. I think it was definitely existed while I was working with him. I think that he probably took it in jest. I mean, he's not around any longer, unfortunately.
Right.
But he, you know, he had a really good sense of humor. David Letterman took over his office. So when the Tomorrow Show went off the air, the Late Show, or David Letterman Show, was born, right?
Yeah.
And so David Letterman... His new office was Tom Snyder's old office. So David Letterman would send giant pieces from the office to Tom, like, as a joke. But, like, huge things. Like, an entire wall of curtains would come in a giant box to our little office and, you know, a couch, just random. Or David Letterman would call in and, you know, create a character who would be calling in to ask Tom questions on the air. And Tom always loved that and had so much fun with it. It was a real honor for me. To work with him. I loved it.
Yeah, I can imagine. Lisa Erspalmer is the voice you're hearing, and you're listening to a very talented lady. And the book, the name of the book is a letter to my mom, and it is a collection of letters from some of the most famous people you can imagine writing heartfelt letters to their mom. And, guys will say, oh, I don't want to read that or whatever, but guys will sneak a copy, and I urge everyone to buy it. Lisa Erz-Palmer has worked with Oprah Winfrey for 17 years and helped launch the network and worked with Tom Schneider. Did you work with Letterman when he took over that office, or
I didn't.
It didn't overlap.
I never worked with him. I've never worked with him, but and actually Tom was doing the radio show out here. It was ABC Radio that we were doing. But I did get to meet David Letterman when he finally did an interview with Oprah. And that was a lot of fun. I mean, I was just, you know, he's another one. He's sort of like that kind of like broadcaster who kind of knows everything that's going on in the world and has a lot to say about everything. And it was really cool to get to meet him.
What were your duties like over at the Oprah Winfrey Show? Were you in booking at all?
Well, I actually ran the booking department.
You did? Well, that's interesting.
I worked in every department. You know, I started as an associate producer and worked my way up in the company. But I loved booking. Booking was one of my real passions because I feel like that's the origin of everything.
That's the lifeblood. It's the show. I mean, really. I mean, it's the talent of the host, and it's of course the cast cast and crew around her. But really, that's the lifeblood. That's interesting that you handled the booking. That great booking for that show.
Well, we had a whole big old team, but I oversaw that team. They were amazing, and it was I really loved booking. I loved it from my radio days, and all the way through. I mean, we book now. I consider when we, ask people to participate in our book, that's sort of the same process. And we, really like keeping, we like keeping that going in our work because I do think it's so important.
Do you know the name Paul Block? Do you know who Paul Block
is? I love Paul Block.
Yeah.
One of my favorite people.
Yeah, I had him.
My favorite people in town.
I had him on the show. I was dying to get him on the show. And he was a talent booker for Johnny Carson for 6 years and worked for Mike Douglas. And it was such a fascinating conversation with him about
he's
things.
Such a legend.
And yeah, no doubt about it. And I mean, you realize overseeing the booking department or the apparatus for Oprah Winfrey is bigger probably than what Paul Block was doing at the time. And what Paul Block was doing was monumental. I mean, because the Tonight Show was unbelievable, and the power had. But
and Paul, he's, one of the legendary PR people and reps some of the biggest names in entertainment.
Legendary.
And that far exceeds what we're doing as far as booking, for sure. But having a relationship with him was always important, and I loved Paul Block because when I was doing the Oprah show, he repped Tom Cruise and he repped John Travolta. And, they were obviously people we really were interested in having on. And he was always one of my favorite people to deal with. He's so special.
Well, now I asked him, and I know there's always trepidations on this. I'm not even looking for dirt necessarily,
right.
But what I said to him is, was there anyone that Carson said, listen, no way am I, do I want to deal with this person at all? I do not want to deal with this person. Keep them out. And he kind of pushed for it. And he said, no, he said, listen, it's Johnny Carson. if he said no, he said no. And I imagine it's the same thing with Oprah, but was there anyone, and maybe it's out there and you don't even have to name the person, but was there anyone where Oprah said, no way, not this person, I will not deal with this person?
Not really. I mean, not that I remember. I feel like anybody that had something interesting to say or had a compelling story felt like the right thing. Remember, we had to do 200 shows a year, 150 to 200 a year. So, we had a lot of real estate, to fill. Like we, if it didn't feel like the right fit, sometimes we'd try to turn it on its head a little bit to see if we can come at it from a different angle. But for the most part, Oprah loved talking to people and that's what we did every day. So, we pretty much had everybody on at one point or another.
Were you there for the Tom Cruise jumping on the couch, I love Katie Holmes?
I was.
You are.
I was there, yeah.
Were you expecting him to do that? Was that rehearsed? Was that just spontaneous?
No, it was totally spontaneous. And I think, you know, as a woman and with an office full of women, you know, we were like totally dazzled. And he really was in love with her. You know, so we were like, who doesn't want somebody to jump on a couch for you?
Yeah, right. And that was, you know, that
really,
was parodied.
We were literally a bunch of girls going, oh my God, look at that. Yeah, it was, for us, it was really sweet. I think it got sort of, it got, you know, it became, I think the news media and the internet, they took something really special and really sweet and made it into something that it really wasn't. In the moment, it was just so sweet. And, you know, they were newly in love, and it was, you know, the guy that every woman on the planet would want jumping on a couch for them was jumping on the couch for somebody. So I'm sure a lot of women were very jealous. But in the moment, it was really adorable.
Lisa Erzpermer is the name that, or the, is the name of the person that you're listening to. Erzpermer. Let's get it right.
Erzpermer. Yep.
And this is Frank McKay, which is easier to say, but less important for sure. Lisa Erzpermer has put together a wonderful, wonderful collection of books, but the latest is A Letter to My Mom, and it just a wonderful, wonderful collection of letters by some of the most famous people in the world. A letter to my dog, and I was kidding about your dog. I love my dog, and he barks whenever I home record. He barks all the time, and I don't even care.
Oh, yeah.
You know? It just he's
a, mine are so bad. I'm not a very good dog trainer.
Yeah.
That would not be a profession I would be very successful at.
Yeah, but it's not about training dogs. It's about loving dogs and having them love back. And that's what kind of dogs do you have?
I have a Yorkie. He's sitting right next to me like a little angel, but she's really not. A little dog. And then I have a Chihuahua that I rescued from a kill shelter when we were doing the dog book.
Oh, wow.
Named Grace. And she's just heaven on four legs.
Yeah.
But they're both, you know, they're both 5 pounds, and they both act like they're giant.
Did you have, you know, and again, not to get, you know, not to, to get negative here, did you guys ever have Michael Vick on the Oprah show?
Gosh, I don't remember.
You remember?
Honestly, I feel like, I don't think we did. I don't, you know, I went to do the network during midway through the 24th season, so I can't really, I don't think we did.
Well, let's
like, not totally sure.
Let's broaden the spectrum, right? You know, you're a dog lover, I'm a dog lover. Like, I would have such a difficult time.
It wouldn't
time.
Have been a good thing if I was in the building as
right.
I ever was.
So I would have had a difficult,
you know, I think, yeah.
I would have had a difficult time, like, separating, you know, what for example, he did from, you know, from the professional aspect of doing it. I would have had a hard time not being overly judgmental of him. Now let's make it broader, right? So forget about the dogs for a second. Forget about animals and everything else. I'm sure in 17 years, you had some despicable characters come on, either deadbeat dads or abusers or whatever that were coming on. Was it your job, or was it ever your job, to have to deal directly with somebody who was a despicable character?
Well, I guess I sort of see the world in a different way. Like, I think, you know, we definitely had people on who had troubles in their lives. But I really feel like everybody's a human being and everybody makes mistakes. And, you know, we didn't have people on who didn't have a real reason to be on. And we didn't have them on if they had just done horrible things and hadn't sort of, like,
redeemed. Well, try to, yeah, redeem.
Yeah,
themselves.
We tried to, you know, we tried to be careful about that. We would never want to get, we never wanted to give a platform to somebody who wouldn't use it for good. And so mostly we dealt with people who were just like all of us, totally imperfect, and who maybe had made a mistake that they were on to talk about, but not somebody who had just done something horrible for the sake of sort of sharing that deed. We weren't like, you know, we were careful about that.
Was Team Oprah a reflection or a microcosm of her attitude towards the world? Did it just naturally occur? Because I imagine she is just such a tremendous presence, as far, you know, mentally, emotionally. Did did people gravitate to her like yourself? Well, you could tell by the last statement you met. You're a big-hearted lady, right? You're big-hearted, yeah. Right? You don't want to. You're not for judging sure. people. I said despicable. You're like, eh, nobody's despicable.
Well, I mean, yeah. You know, I'm not always. I can be very judgmental.
Right. Okay. All yeah. right. But still,
I think we tried like for the show. The show like was its own like thing. You know, it was like a living being. And I think for the show, we always wanted to make sure we were. Careful of what we put out to the audience, you know? So we tried to be really smart about it and do it in a way that wasn't going to cause harm.
You know, you're touching
on... And that was from her directly.
You're touching on something. You're touching on something that borders on discussing responsibility. Because when you are influencing the amount of people that Oprah influenced, I mean, she would mention a book... And the book would be a bestseller. She could bring a guest on, very talented, like Marianne Williamson, for example. I mean,
yep.
Oprah launched Marianne. I mean, somebody who deservingly should have been launched, right? Of course, but launched her. Dr. Phil. I mean, you can give a list of people that she launched, and I imagine that there has to be. I won't put words in your mouth, but was there a sense of responsibility from? From your standpoint that, hey, look, we're playing with dynamite here, right? We can influence, ultimately influence presidential elections. Let's make sure, right? Let's make sure we handle everything as professionally as we can. Was there a sense of responsibility there, or did you kind of just go with the flow?
No, we had a huge sense of responsibility, and we took it very seriously. And I think everyone on the staff was in alignment on that. Like, obviously it came from her, but we all... I feel like all those people sort of came together because, we wanted to do TV that made an impact, but we also all really wanted to do the right thing.
You mentioned doing 200 shows a year, and, that's something, I mean, here on radio and a much smaller scale, we do even more than that. But sometimes, like, we'll weed them out and we'll do whatever. Was there any of that in the process? Did you shoot... many more shows than you used, and is there a large catalog of Oprah shows that have just never been played?
No, I don't even think we have any that haven't aired. There might have been one along the way that maybe just had no real reason, but for the most part, everything we shot aired. But there might be a few here and there, but I can't really remember what they were. But for the most part, we had a schedule. We were on the air every day.
Another,
so we didn't have the luxury to not air stuff, really. We had to do it to the best of our ability.
Another reminder that this is Frank McKay, but more importantly, Lisa Erspema, Erspalma, right? That's it. And is a wonderful author and book creator, show creator as well. 17 years as a producer, and she's worked in every department of the Oprah Winfrey Show that you can imagine, and including overseeing the booking, which I find absolutely fascinating, and helped launch the Oprah's network, and that must have been a very exciting situation as well. And she is the creator of a letter to my mom, and a letter to my dog, a letter to my cat. Please get them. But again, let's give a website. Once again, it's lettertomymom.com, is it, basically?
Yep, lettertomymom.com, and then or cat, dog. But lettertomymom.com is most active right now because we're currently out there with this book, and people are posting some really, great stuff. We shot some videos, some of our contributors, surprising their moms with their letters, and that's on there, too, and it's really, really sweet. Heart-wrenching. It'll make you cry, but in a good way.
Yeah. We have about 3 minutes left with Lisa Erspalma. And Lisa, what's the future look like for you? Do you have an end game in sight? It seems like you've done everything imaginable. But you do sound ambitious. You sound like, are you a goal setter?
I think, I don't know if I'm a goal setter, but I do. We have our own company. I started the company a couple years ago. And, I think what we... want to keep doing is what we're doing, which is creating content that makes people feel something. We sort of think that if people don't have a physical reaction to something that we created, we didn't really do our job. And that's sort of the focus of what we're building. And we want to be in lots of different platforms. So whether it's publishing books or doing a film or a TV, or digital content. It's all, we just think if you have a great story, there's a place it should live, and we want to be the people that help make that, make it find a home. So, you know, we're still producing. We have TV stuff that we're working on and digital content and companies we work for. And, you know, it's definitely been a learning curve, but a really great one.
I can't imagine being in a situation where you're more connected to more different types of folks that that are out there. And I'm just looking through the book, and there's not only, you know, just big stars, but I mean different backgrounds, people from different backgrounds, people from different viewpoints, and it's really an amazing collection. How long did it take to weed out all of these, you know, all of the people who weren't, you know, I don't want to say weren't worthy, but just who didn't make it in the book?
Well, we try to be careful about that because we don't want to hurt people's feelings.
I don't mean their names, but I mean, how many people?
Yeah. Well, we set out for a certain number that we want to have in, you know, somewhere between 60 and 70. And that's usually where we land. We try not to, like, broaden it too wide so that we don't have to have too many people disappointed. I mean, obviously, there are always people that don't make the book, and it's not a small number, but we try to keep it a little contained so that it's not too many. But we have people who submit letters to our blog, and we, you know, obviously go out and ask people that we know, and then we ask people who maybe if we saw a really compelling story in the news, we might ask somebody if they, you know, want to participate. Because we want it to feel like a good mix, like there's a little bit of something in there for everybody.
It's wonderful. I mean, it's just a wonderfully put together book. A Letter to My Mom is the name of the latest in a series of books, very heartfelt stories, and by a lady who's unbelievably impressive. Everything I've ever read about you is just amazing. What a career you're having, and it's still going strong, and you've... What pedigree you have. Oprah Winfrey, Tom Schneider. Prior to that, Lisa Earls-Palmer is our very special guest, and we're out of time, unfortunately. We can get you for a part two or part three somewhere along the line, Lisa.
Well, I'll come back anytime. I love talking to you.
Yeah, well, the same here. Lisa, just wonderful, and congratulations on everything. And A Letter to My Mom.com, please go there. And A Letter to My Dog. .com, A Letter to My Cat.com. No kidding. Get all three of them. Just a wonderful lady. Lisa, thank you very much.
All right. Thank you. Have a great day.
This is Frank McKay tuning off, and I would like to thank everyone for tuning in to us. A Letter to My Mom by Lisa Earls-Palmer is the name of the book. We will see you next time on Breaking It Down.